Now, Ireland had a plan to ban sales of diesel and petrol vehicles by 2030, replaced by 1 million electric vehicles. The timelines have changed somewhat, with 2035 now the EU-wide date for a ban on fossil fuel-powered vehicles. And while there's been a rapid enough pickup in sales of EVs in the past year, is it fast enough to reach the ambitious 1 million target? And what about the infrastructure? The government has announced it's reducing grants for electric vehicles. At present, motorists buying a new EV receive a maximum subsidy of €5,000. That's dropping to €3,500 by July. The government says it's switching its funding focus towards charging infrastructure. But is this the right move at the right time? I'm joined by Professor Hannah Daly, specialist in sustainable energy at UCC, and by Eamon Stack, policy officer with the Irish Electric Vehicle Owners Association. And you're both very welcome to the programme. And Eamon, you see this as a disappointing move by the government. It's a €1,500 cut. But if somebody has made the decision already to buy what is an expensive vehicle, an EV vehicle, if they've made that decision, is there likely to be that much of an impact?
I don't think it'll be a huge impact. No, I agree with you. The people have spoken. People want electric cars.
Well, people have to go electric. It's the future.
Yeah, but they're also better cars. So there's the issue at the moment. There is an issue of economy of scale, because you're producing a lot more petrol cars. They're cheaper to make, and so electric cars are a little more expensive. But that's going to change in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I mean, they are still a very expensive item. And if you're looking about buying electric as against still buying petrol or diesel, I mean, do we need to have more incentives to encourage people to make the electric choice?
Yes,
and maybe a penalty for making the fossil fuel choice?
Yes, I think that's a reasonable approach. But I think we need to be positive here and do what the United Kingdom has done, that the charging infrastructure is vital. If people need to buy more affordable cars, then they need to buy cars that don't have big batteries, because that's the expensive item in the car. And, you know, for most daily use, you don't need this big battery. But if there isn't a charging infrastructure, then the government policy can force people into a situation that they're purchasing more expensive cars than necessary and carrying around heavy batteries that are more than necessary. So in the Irish EV Association, we're saying the focus should be on the charging infrastructure and do what England does. The block sometimes is getting the power to the pumps, getting the electricity to the place. So we own the ESB. Let's have a very clear strategy to do what they're doing in England, is to fund the cost of bringing the power to the pumps and then allow commercial companies and e-cars to install the charging infrastructure.
So let's bring Dr. Hannah Daly into this conversation as well. Are we having the right conversation, Hannah Daly, encouraging people to go EV? Does it need to be a much broader conversation and be part of a cultural shift?
Good morning, and thanks for having me on. And first of all, I would fully agree with Eamon that electric vehicles are a really important part of our climate action measures here. So when we do need to cut transport emissions, like all emissions, rapidly, immediately and sustained. So we have to get to net zero emissions as quickly as possible. And that's now in law in our climate action plan. And also globally, and we know from last week's IPCC report that the urgency of cutting emissions is really never been higher. And electric cars are a very, very important part of that, along with moving away from car dependency overall. So there is in some sense a rationale for cutting the EV grant. So first of all, the Exchequer should really not be funding private car ownership. And secondly, the subsidy mainly benefits more well-off people who tend to buy new cars anyway, who go on then to benefit from the lower running costs of EVs, very substantially lower running costs. And thirdly, EVs actually have come down very substantially in their cost. And even though they were seen as the more pricey option, they still are in many cases. There are now good EV models whose upfront cost is lower than many popular new fossil fuel car models. And the prices continue to come down. And when you take into account the overall running cost and the cost of ownership, EVs now stand on their own 2 feet. So this is the government's rationale for gradually cutting the EV grant. But despite all this, we really can't afford to slow down the growth in EV sales. And last year, EV sales grew by 80%, which was great. Now around 15% of new cars are electric. But we really should, we need to do everything we can to make sure that we're not slowing that down.
And is there, I'll come back to you in a moment again, mm-hmm. Hannah, is there another problem, Eamon, as well, that, you know, we don't have any supply really or sufficient supply of second-hand models at the moment, as Hannah is making the point, you know, the EV is still, it is still largely a luxury item.
Well, I agree with Hannah. There's a lot of new cars coming on the market. I think many of us can remember when Toyota and Datsun came into the market and Hyundai arrived with a bang. But now there are new companies coming in that are making smaller electric cars from China. They're already making them in massive volume in China. So I think that I agree with Hannah. The hope is here that there will be a lot cheaper cars coming very, very quickly. We have to make sure we don't block the arrival of those cars. And then, the second-hand market will develop very quickly because it only takes 2 or 3 years for the second-hand market to develop. But at the minute, there is a problem with that.
But is the technology around electric vehicles changing as well? And are people worried that if they buy an electric 2-3 years old, that they're going to be, you know, way behind in the capacity and technology of the car?
Absolutely not. The technology of electric car, there were electric cars before there were petrol cars. We remember that. And what has changed is the battery technology now has matured. So we have lithium-based batteries, the lithium-ion ones we know of, but the lithium-iron batteries are the ones that are going to dominate. So these are very stable stuff. I don't think that's going to change over the next 20 years. So people are very safe purchasing a car now. And what is interesting is there's going to be a whole transformation of transport. So Hannah mentioned the fact that the Irish EV Association also wants people to walk and cycle and take public transport where possible. But where you have to take a car, an electric car will last possibly twice or three times as long as a petrol car. It's a great investment. And even when the car has finished its life, petrol cars are worth very little when they're old. Mm-hmm. Electric cars, the battery could still be worth several thousand euro and can go on to a second life as energy storage.
And Hannah, when we look across that transformation of transport, if you run the rule over what the government is doing, how are we getting on?
Yeah, I mean, what we have to do as Eamon said is move away from private car ownership but this is in some sense too late to move wholesale away from cars because we live in remote areas and we are in some ways stuck with cars for decades but I think the government has other options to cut fossil fuel car use. If we look at, for example, the cultural shift that happened with let's say smoking, 30 years ago it was sort of okay to smoke anywhere really, and now through a combination of public health information, through taxation and through restrictions, there's transformation in how we treat smoking in public areas, and I think we need to treat car use, especially in cities, in the same way, so that within the next few years that it would be sort of not a very socially appropriate thing to do to own a new big fossil fuel car.
But could it also be wrong to own a new big electric powered vehicle, Hannah?
Yeah, I would certainly favour smaller electric vehicles where possible, even electric cargo bikes and so on over new large cars. And if our climate measures simply replace existing new fossil fuel big SUVs with big electric vehicles, we'll miss a huge opportunity because cars, they're not just negative in terms of emitting. They also create danger on roads. Children can't walk and cycle to school and so on. So there's a lot of more negative impacts of cars other than just carbon.
And if we don't get all our ducks in a row here, what's it going to be like if we have 800,000 electric vehicles on the road? They're all powering up at the same time on the same day.
Yeah. Well. Of course. The charging of electric cars has to be done in a smart way, but the technology for that and the market for that is relatively ready to roll out. I have an electric car myself and I charge it at night because it's much cheaper for me to do that because I have a smart meter. So electric cars, even if they're powered with fossil fuels from the grid, they actually save a lot more carbon. But we're moving very rapidly towards a completely clean electricity grid. And so let's say if someone has solar panels on their roof of their home and they're able to store that energy from the batteries in the electric car, they can actually very much complement wind and solar energy.
And Eamon, just a last word to you, Eamon. I'm sure you'd agree with a lot of what Hannah's saying.
Absolutely. And electric cars are good for the grid. We can store our energies. They're the national battery. And I did a back of an envelope study of it. And it said we can charge 1 million cars with the Irish grid in 1 hour.
All right. We leave it there. Eamon Stack, Hannah Daly, thank you both very much for joining us.